How good that is. Josiah Conger. What a blessing to sing with the understanding, huh? Knowing if I love thee, thou must have loved me first. All right, 1 Thessalonians 1. I came to the conclusion some time ago that the church should always be going through the epistles. And we've gone through all of them, some of them more than once. And we're going to begin going through this one again. I was surprised to see that it had been well over 20 years since we looked at it. Although we read this, you remember one night we just read it? That was a blessing. Because the last end of the chapter, end of the book tells us, I charge you, read this. And here's a summary of, it's just five chapters in this book. Here's a summary. In chapter 1, verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Chapter 1 is how we may know our election. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, knowing you yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you was not in vain. That is, knowing your preacher. Chapter 5, verse 12, it says the same thing. Know them which labor among you. That's necessary. That you might know you don't have a false prophet. Chapter 3, verse 5 says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, so you may know the faith of God's people. Chapter 4 is knowing God's will. And then chapter 5 is knowing the end. So this is wonderful. Let me give you a little history of this church. The history of the beginning of every local church is a wonderful thing. How God establishes a church is marvelous. As the Lord does it, it's a miracle of God's grace. Like the church at Philippi. You know how that started? Paul went there and went in the synagogue and then left and went out by the river where there were some women praying. All right? And he started preaching to them. And God opened one woman's heart, Lydia. And she said, would you come home with me? And he sure did. He went home with her. Well, they put Paul in jail and Silas at Philippi. As they were singing and praying, the Lord, you know, broke them out of jail. And the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? The Lord saved him. The Lord started that church then. And on it goes. Stories like that. Well, Thessalonica, Acts chapter 17. Look over there real quickly with me. This is the story of the church at Thessalonica. And this will mean something to you as we look at this letter. Because they evidently went through great persecution. They threatened Paul and they had to get Paul out of town. But these people stayed there. That church stayed there. All right, look at it. Verse 1, they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia and they came to Thessalonica, where a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days, 3 weeks, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul. Oh, they wanted to ask him and talk to him. And Silas and the devout Greeks, a great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few. So the Lord saved quite a few people. But the Jews, as everywhere, believed not and moved with envy and took unto them lewd fellows of the baser sword, gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason. It was a believer that his house joined to the synagogue, I believe. And they found, when they came, he had Paul in his house, Paul and Silas, and they went to find Paul and they couldn't find him, verse 6, and drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city and said, these men, these have turned the world upside down or come here and And Jason's received him, and they do contrary to the decrees of Caesar. If there's another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers, and they took the security of Jason and the others, they let them go. But the brethren sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. And they went to Berea, preached the gospel there, and then they went down to Athens, verse 16. Now Paul was waiting at Athens for Timothy and Silas to come to him, because they stayed at Berea. And that's where he wrote this letter. Paul was waiting for Silas and Timothy to join him, and he wrote this letter to the church at Thessalonica. And they were going through great tribulation, great trouble. That's what the Lord told us would happen, didn't it? He forewarned us that, marvel not, brethren, if the world hate you. He said, they hated me, the disciples not above his master. They called him a devil, and they're calling you a devil too, and they'll hate you. And Paul was hated everywhere. There was not a more gentle, well, our Lord Jesus Christ, love personified. We're told to speak the truth in love. Nobody spoke the truth like he spoke it, with more love, more mercy, more kindness. They hated him, because man doesn't like the truth. He hates it. And Paul, everywhere he went, preached the truth. He preached Christ and salvation by Christ alone. And men, they hated him for it. So he said unto us and Thessalonica and Philippi, listen, he said to the Philippians and us, don't be terrified. He said, let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that you're with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Don't strive with men. Don't argue. Don't be in full of strife. But strive for the faith of the gospel. And in that, don't be terrified by your adversary. To them, that's a token of perdition. Don't back down. Do it in love. But strive for the faith of the gospel. For to you, unto you it's given on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. He said, to have the same conflict you see in me. Now that's us. Okay? So, we're his church, and Thessalonica was, they were persecuted for. And we're going to see how that Paul said, this is a token of God's favor and love. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, rejoice. He said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. For so persecuted they the Father. He said, rejoice. Rejoice. All right. Verse 1. Paul and Silas, Timothy, unto the church of Thessalonians. And this was to be read to all the churches, it said. And that means us. So this is to us. To the church of Thessalonians, in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the church. This is to the church. Now, the term church is a blessed, blessed term. And I have made myself, and you do well also, to not call any old place the church. Because the church is the assembly of the saints. The church is the congregation of the righteous. The church is God's kingdom on earth. The church. The church. It's a blessed term. Reserved for his people, his elect. The church that is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times does Paul say that? How many times does he write that? The church in God, in Christ. What does that mean? Well, it means salvation is what it meant. To be found in Christ. That's what Paul said. Oh, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. Now, most of you in here know what that means. The church in God. In God. In His heart. In His mind. In His purpose. In His purpose. In His kingdom. In His covenant. The church in Christ. In His heart. In His mind. In His love. Crucified with Him. Buried with Him. Raised with Him. The church in His hands. In His hands. Your names are in His hands. And your life is in His hands. And you're in good hands. The church. It's His church. It's His family. The church in Christ. In His family. This is salvation. What it means to be found in Christ. An illustration. I use it all the time. Everyone in that ark of Noah was chosen by God, brought in there by God, weren't they? Taught of God, taught the fear of the Lord. They heard the blessed promise of God that there's salvation, there's mercy found in the ark. And He brought them in, and every single one of them were in that ark. They were saved, they were saved, they were shut up. Sealed. And they reached the new world when it was all over. God said so. That's what it means to be in Christ. I mean, chosen by God, put in Christ, given to Christ before the world began, taught of God, brought to Christ, found in Him, shut up to faith, sealed by His precious blood. And brethren, if you're in Christ, you're going to make it to the promised land. You have God's word on it. That's what it means to be saved, be found in Jesus Christ. So we see it. Verse 1. Grace to you. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Every epistle of Paul begins and ends with grace. Did you know that? Every single epistle begins with and ends with grace. Why? Because salvation does. Salvation begins and ends with grace. I just read Zechariah 4. Zechariah is all about Zerubbabel, who's a picture of Christ. And it says Zerubbabel is going to lay the top stone on the temple when it's all over with shouts of grace unto it. That's Jesus Christ. The foundation of salvation began with God's electing grace, and Jesus Christ is going to lay the top stone onto it of grace. It's all of grace. Every epistle begins and ends with grace, especially Ephesians. The whole first chapter of Ephesians speaks of His sovereign electing grace, calling grace, redeeming grace, keeping grace, inheriting grace, revealing grace. You wouldn't know salvation by grace if He hadn't revealed it to you. His sealing grace. Believing grace. On and on it goes. Grace unto you. By grace are you saved. Grace is a gift. It means an undeserved gift. It's freely given. Not an offer. It's a gift bestowed. And it's free and it's forever and it's eternal. Grace. Grace unto you. All grace. And peace. Peace. Peace with God. God is angry with the wicked every day. I know you feel yourselves at times to be wicked and sinful. God's not angry with you. Why? Because Christ made peace by the blood of His cross. You know that, don't you? Well, He is our peace. The chastisement of our peace was laid on Him. Peace. Christ kept telling His disciples that day. Peace. Be of good cheer. From God, our Father. He said this three times in these first three verses. Our Father. Our Father. If God Almighty is our Father. You remember when He said, you, then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. You like to do good things for your children? You wouldn't dream of hurting your children. Does it give you great pleasure and delight to do things for your children?
How much more?
God, His ways are higher above us in the heavens. So if God is our Father, this is why Paul went on to say, how shall He not, with that unspeakable gift of His Son, freely give us
all things?
God, our Father. He told us, our Lord told us, pray, our Father. He said, I go to my Father and your Father. God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God, our Father, has made Jesus Christ Lord both of heaven and earth. He right now reigns and rules among the armies of heaven and inhabitants of the earth. And we're His people. And we have nothing and no one to fear. Nothing. Peace. Peace. Now, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayer. Thank for you all. Always praying, He said. Praying always. Remembering without ceasing. Praying without ceasing. We thank God for you all. Paul said. Paul was continually thanking God for these people. And through it, if you know this chapter and you know the next chapter and you know 2 Thessalonians 2, he kept doing this, didn't he? Thank God for you all of you. Because every member of the church is a member of Christ's body, and God's to be thanked for all of His people. All of His people. All members. All serve the body in one way or another, though all of us are different, and yet we're really the same. But it takes all kinds, doesn't it, in the body, little toes and big mouths. We ought to accept each other, shouldn't we? We're accepted in the blood. We ought to accept each other's strangeness, shouldn't we? Thank God always for you all, he said. I thank God for you all. It's a mark of love. He prayed always for them, and it's a mark of love to pray for someone and to thank God for them. I've heard people pray for me in the past and pray for their pastor, but then I've heard some thank God for me. That means they really love me. They thank God for me. There was a couple one time riding along. They had two sons, and one of them was an obedient son, a good son, and the other one was a wayward son. One caused them great joy, and the other one caused them great sorrow and great pain. And they were riding along in their car. And all of a sudden, the husband pulled over the side of the road, and he said, honey, we've thanked the Lord all these years for our good and obedient son, but we've never thanked Him for that wayward son, child. Let's give thanks for that wayward child. God sent him. God sent him. Give thanks for them all. Hard thing to thank God for. Well, but we should, shouldn't we? Thank God. Thank the Lord He prays for us. All of us. So should we. Making mention of you in our prayers. Verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Work of faith. Thank God for this work of faith He's done in you. And first of all, it means that the work that Lord does in you, to the power of God that makes you believe. I thank God for this, the work of faith in you, and I thank God that He's given you faith which works. Faith that worketh, my love. Faith without works is dead. And God's people, they labor. They work. And everything done for the church, for the gospel, I thank the Lord for everything everyone in here does for the church, for the gospel. It's a good work. It's a labor of love. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. So many times I ask people to do this and that and the other, and they cheerfully do it, and I'd be delighted to. I'd love to. I asked someone to read not long ago, man. He said, I'd love to. And I know he really didn't mean that. Because it's a difficult thing. You know what I mean? It immediately put fear in him. Dread. His mouth went dry. His heart stopped. But he really meant it. Because he loves God's Word. And he loves His people. And he loves it. But though he feels insufficient to do it and unable to do it, but yet he said, I'd love to. And I love that. And the Lord loves that. The opposite's true. Reluctant, begrudging givers and so on. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. It's labor of love. Love to the Lord. Love to His cause. Love to His people. Patience of hope. I remember, without ceasing, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Patience in trials, tribulations. So many, every believer has gone through trials and will go through more. And maybe the hardest ones are yet to come, but the Lord has brought us all through them, haven't He? The Lord, His grace is sufficient. Patiently endure these trials as from the Lord, as the Lord sent it. And tribulation, patient with others. You've been patient with me. I started out as a very young preacher here, 33 years old, and patient with me, and I'm patient with you too. But patient with the other. We should be, shouldn't we? The Lord's patient with us. And He's patient with us in our old age when we ought to know something by then, but He still has to be very long-suffering with us and patient. So shouldn't we be the same? Well, we God's people are, and thankfully, hopefully, we're growing in patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Isn't that right? That's your hope. Patience of hope. We're not going to quit. By the grace of God, not going to quit. We're waiting on our Lord. In the sight of God. All of this, verse 3, is in the sight of God and our Father. It's all in His sight. His eyes behold, His eyelids try all men. But His eye of love and mercy and approval is on His children. I got to read you this. Had too much time on these verses, but it's been good. But I got to read you this. Psalm 33 says it. It says, "The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy to deliver their soul from death." Just like your eyes on your children, His eyes especially on His. And everything done in the name of Christ, for the sake of Christ, toward His people, His cause, His glory, God is well pleased. Well pleased. All right, brethren, verse 4. He says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Knowing, beloved of God, your election. I know you're elect. Oh, can you know someone's elect without seeing their names in the book? Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That's clear, isn't it? And all of God's people know there was an election before the world began. All of God's people know that. They're all taught of God that. All God's children. They know that the purpose of God according to election must stand, shall stand. They know that. They know that salvation began this way. It was His choice, His will, and His sovereign election of a people. They all know that. But most of them, if not all of them, sometimes doubts their election. Simon Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So that's how important it is. And Paul says, knowing your election, that you can know you're one of God's elect. Well, and they all want to know. Don't you want to know? I want to know. I know there's an elect. People, I know, and they're going to be saved. And I want to know if I'm one of them. Can I know? And he says, yes. Now, their names written in the book, in this book you have in front of you, this is the book of life. You need to know that. Don't you? You're looking at the book. The book is open. And you can read your names in it. Know that? You just read it tonight, John. You read our names. Who God chose. Didn't you? Did you read it with me, brother? 1 Corinthians 1. The foolish. Hath not God chosen the foolish? Is that you? Is it? The weak things hath God chosen. Is that you? Base things. Is that you? Things that are not. Nothing. Is that you? Our Lord said, I didn't come to call the righteous but sinners. Is that you? This man receiveth sinners. Is that you? Spurgeon one time said, I'm glad my name, Charles Spurgeon, is not in the Bible. He said, because there's other Charles Spurgeons and I just wouldn't think it was me. It must not be me. It must be that other one. But since it says sinners, I know that's me. Huh? A dog? Fear not thou worm. Jacob, that's you. What's your name? Jacob, worm. Well, found your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But here are four or five or so marks of election, evidences, okay? In just a few minutes, I'll give you these evidences of election. You don't think I'm going to get through it. Verse 5. He says, we know your election because our gospel came unto you. Not in word only, but in power. Not in doctrine only, but in power. Now the word of God, the gospel does come by the preaching of the word, by preaching. Man and I were just talking about this, and John just read it in 1 Corinthians, that God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, and the world won't have it. We don't want to hear this preaching. And Paul said, we preach, and Christ came preaching. And he sent his apostles out preaching, didn't he? And he raised up preachers to go preach, and those that hear the gospel, the true gospel, the living gospel, they're going to hear from a preacher. And they love to hear the preaching of the word, the preaching of the gospel. From that day forward, they live on it. They need it, don't you? Do you? Where would you be without the preaching of the gospel? Like the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can us that some man show me? I live on it. I feed on it myself. Our gospel came. But not in word only, not just word only or doctrine, but in power. Our gospel. You know what Paul said? He said it's another gospel. It's not the gospel, Galatians 1. But our gospel, the gospel of God. Our gospel came, the true gospel. Sovereign electing grace and particular redemption. Our gospel came unto you in power. Do you remember when you first heard the gospel? Not just in word, not just a sermon, but in power? The man sitting right in here one time, just like the eunuch, came over to my house. Finally, he sat for a while. He went somewhere else for a while. And his wife came here. And she loved the gospel. He came and sat for a while. And he'd go somewhere else. And he'd come back. And finally, he heard the gospel in power. And he came over to my house and said, I've got to baptize me. I didn't ask him. I didn't plead with him. The gospel came in power. Heart convicting, sin convicting, heart piercing, life giving, eye opening, ear opening, mouth opening, power. I pray that the Lord may exert that power again and again, for some have not experienced it. But this is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God in salvation. Everyone that believes it. And our gospel came unto you. This is how you know you're elect. And it wasn't a one-time thing either. If it ceases to be the power of God, if it ceases to break your heart and heal your heart and open your eyes and open your ear and open your mouth and make your heart beat, perhaps it never came. But our gospel came in power and in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, what does that mean? Now, our Lord said what it means. He said the Holy Spirit will convince of sin, righteousness, and judgment. God's people, when the gospel comes, He convinces them of that. And I don't have time to go into that. But you know what that means, don't you? And the Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and shows them unto you. When the gospel comes, our gospel, Paul comes, when the gospel is preached to you in power and the Holy Spirit comes, He opens your eyes to see Christ. See Him as all in all the Scripture. You begin to read the Scripture, and on every page, on every line, you see Christ. You never saw Him before. Why? You were blind. But our gospel came in power, and the Holy Spirit moved on you and opened your eyes and quickened you. And now you see Christ. Like looking at the sun. Do you ever look at the sun? From that time on, you have spots before your eyes. If you ever see Jesus Christ in this book, you'll see Him everywhere. That's how our gospel comes. Our gospel comes in power and the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. You have any assurance in yourself? Anything? You feel better than you were when you first heard of God. You feel now that you've made some real progress and so now you have this assurance that, that's not assurance. Our assurance is in the surety. See, the Holy Spirit gives you assurance of faith in Christ. Like that leper standing there where the high priest was doing everything for him. If the high priest left anything undone, he's not going to be cleansed. But he did it all. He's our assurance. That's the assurance He gives us. Are you sure that Christ is salvation? Are you sure about that? Hell and hope? Are you sure about that? You're one of God's elect. Much assurance. As you know, and you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, meaning, and He's going to go through this in chapter 2, meaning, not a beggar, not a pleader, not a, like these phony soul winners, you know, mealy mouth, just a man that stands up and preaches the gospel, and that's all he does, and stand back, like Simon Peter at Pentecost, stand back and watch the Lord work. Verse 6, and you became followers of us. Here it is. Followers, disciples, students, learners of us. Paul, Silas, Timothy. Of men? Oh, we're not supposed to follow me. Hold on now. That's what Paul said. Follow me, didn't he? And Hebrews, it says, whose faith follow. Remember them that had the rule over whose faith follow. Follow men that follow Christ. Became followers of us. Brethren, I'm a follower of Joseph in the Scripture. Daniel. Isaiah. Don't you follow his teaching? David, don't you? Huh? Knox, John Knox, Calvin, Newton, Edwards, Henry, Scott. Huh? Why? Those men are following Christ. And that leads you to Christ. Look at the next, and of the Lord. Why didn't he say the Lord first? Huh? Because it's a greater evidence that you're following the Lord if you'll follow the man that the Lord sent.
You haven't seen the Lord.
Moses, the Lord sent Moses. And the Lord said, if they listen to you, they're going to hear from me. If they reject you, they reject me. And it was a miracle of God's grace to turn a hard-hearted, stiff-necked rebel, murmuring, complaining, into a Caleb, a faithful dog, and to follow Joshua. He loved Moses, didn't he? He followed him. That's proof that God made him a disciple. Do you understand that? That's why I said that. God sent Moses, and let the people follow him, but some didn't. And you know, Paul wrote up in Corinthians and said that they persecuted Christ because Moses was his man. Well, so they became followers, and you became followers. And having received, here it is again, another thing, received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Here's a proof of election. Receive the word with affliction, in much affliction, but with joy. Oh my. Just believing and receiving the word you'll get persecution. All experience it. Every single believer, once he hears the truth and he starts telling the truth about God, about man, about salvation, truth from God's word, folks don't like it. And they won't like you. Right? You tell it plainly, even in love, but the truth, you see, the truth brings man's pride down. The truth puts man in the dust. The truth puts salvation in the will and in the hands of God alone. And man doesn't like that. But so. And it took the power of God to make you like it and love it, didn't it? Love it. You don't want salvation in your hands. Well, and you receive it with affliction and yet with joy of the Holy Ghost. Joy of the Holy Ghost. Oh my. All through this epistle, we're going to see how they were persecuted, and yet Paul kept reminding them, this is evidence that the Lord has chosen you. Look at the next thing. You became examples, verse 7. Examples to all that believe. Macedonia and Achaia, from you sounded out the word. In other words, you just couldn't. You had to tell somebody what the Lord had done for you. You love to talk about the truth. Love to talk about the gospel. What the Lord had done for you. Nothing you'd rather talk about. Paul said, we don't have to tell anybody. It leaked out on you. Examples. You know you can't help but speak the things you've seen and heard. You know that? And that's what you'll speak about. And if you've seen His glory, if you've heard His voice, that's who you'll speak about. Mindy and I saw a bald eagle the other day out at Philpott Lake. And how many of you did she text about that? Huh? How many of you seen a bald eagle? It's a sight to behold, isn't it? Glorious bird. Is it any wonder that our Lord is likened unto that magnificent, majestic animal, the bald eagle. How many people did you text? How many people did you phone? How many people did you text? I saw the bald eagle. Well, buddy, like I said, if you ever see Christ's glory, if you ever see yourself for what you are and see the salvation of God in Christ, that's who you're going to talk about. That's who you're going to talk about. And you sound it out. And you become examples of witnesses. That's what that's talking about. Examples of those that love this gospel. You see, we don't need to say a thing. Verse 8. You don't need to. In every place, your faith to God will spread abroad. Every one of our sister churches knows most of you well by now. I don't have to say a thing. Verse 9. And they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Here's proof of God's elect. You turn to God from idols. Serve the living and true God. How do you know somebody's elect? Because when they meet the living and the true God, God who is God, when they meet the true Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, like Saul of Tarsus on that road to Damascus, when they meet Him, buddy, He'll sound it out. And they won't be ashamed of Him. And they'll turn from their idols. They'll reject all of their religion like Saul of Tarsus did. He said, I didn't know God before. I do now, and His name is Jesus Christ. I didn't know God before. I thought about Jesus, and I thought, He's just a man. I know now He's not just a man. He's Lord. I used to think I had a free will, Saul said. But I know now that it's all according to His will. Right? And he left his idol, his false god, his false religion that he grew up. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he dropped it. He said, now, I know the living and true God. Serve His cause. Verse 10, and here's the last mark of the elect. They wait for His Son from heaven. You remember that song? Now, Lord, what wait I for? What are you waiting for? Your ship to come in? For some of you, it ain't coming in. I'm here to tell you. You're in the 60s, close to 70, it ain't coming in. But Christ our earth is. We'll wait for His Son from heaven. I don't want to quote the rest of that. We're waiting for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We're waiting. That's what we're doing when we come here to this place. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on a word from the Lord. And like the disciples of old, when the Lord was ascended to heaven in the clouds, and they all stood gazing, and the angel, and I am your angel here, the angel said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner. So go back and get together and hear His word and read His word and break bread and all, and just wait. He's coming. Just as sure as He's living, He's coming. For you. Me? Yeah, His elect. Am I His elect? Well, did you enter into all that? Okay. Stand with me. Our God, our Father, we thank You for Your blessed word. You said that all Your children shall be taught of the Lord. Come to Christ, and great shall be the peace. Oh, Lord, You told me to comfort Your people. There's only one source of comfort, and that's Your Word. Blessed promise, exceeding great and precious promise. And Lord, these promises are to all Your elect, all the seed in Christ, church in God, church in Christ, elect from every nation. I hope Your people have been comforted tonight. You've been glorified. Give us peace that passeth understanding. And cause us to endure these trials with patience. Wait for Your coming. And even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.
Hey, Liz.
What?
Hey, Yeah. He's got to come to three things. We
well, he didn't check today, and that was before it ever came from.
That's good.
I put the editor before.
Yeah.